the 49th chapter, I'm sorry, 49th chapter, and verse 15. Good to see Brother Savala here today.
Amen.
Amen. This evangelist is normally out and about, but we're glad he's here, amen, with his bride today. Man, praise God. Isaiah, the 49th chapter, and verse 15. It begins to ask a question. Can a woman forget her suckling child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. I'm glad today that my God will not forget us. My God will not forget us. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, God will never forget. You know, it's almost impossible for a mother to forget her child. But there's some in our hour, sad to say, that hasn't lived up to the standard of motherhood. And early when we came to the church today, the phone rang in the office, and there was a lady or a person that we have dealt with here. She's been in the jail, out of the jail. But she called, and she has children. But her life has been so messed up. She don't even know where her daughter's at, her children are at. And she said, I feel so out of place. I feel so messed up because of what I've done. And the guilt, the shame was there because she has not been what she needed to be for her children. But I'm glad that God is always one who will be for his people. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, have your will and have your way today, Lord Jesus, in this place. God, we thank you for your righteousness. We thank you for your goodness. And we thank you for mercy and grace in operation in our lives. Thank you today for what you're going to do and for your blessings today in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Amen, for standing and being in the house of the Lord today. Proverbs 31, in the scripture, it talks about the Proverb 31 virtuous woman. There's something about her that stands out. It says in its description in 31:25 of Proverbs, strength and honor are her clothing. It wasn't talking necessarily about her wardrobe, but it's talking about just her disposition, the way that she presents and conducts herself. And scripture says, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is a law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. The virtuous woman, the lights that she touches, her children point to her and call her blessed, her husband also. Thank God for the illustration of a virtuous woman. But in an untoward generation, in a world that is messed up, that definition has leaked and drain of its true power. Today, we're living in an hour where motherhood means just having a baby. But I'm thankful for a mother that feels that natural responsibility to train up that child in the way it should go and to teach that child more than just the ways of everyday life, but the ways of godliness and righteousness. Amen. That would put something inside of that child, a seasoning and a flavoring. Boy, it sounds like we're cooking, huh? And something inside to guide that child all the days of his life. And how wonderful that through the years, when you train up a child, they will not depart from that training. It would still be in the rails. They may get off the rails of life. They may get off the rails of what they've been taught, but the rails will always be there. It's what the scripture is saying. And we're so thankful for even the things of God that's still solid and still running today. And we're grateful for the blessings of the Lord. And my mind goes to 1 Kings, where King Solomon, the wise king, two women came, stood before King Solomon. And obviously, one of them's baby, she had rolled over on probably and smothered. And the other one, she took the baby from the other one and said, "It's mine." And the other mother that was innocent said, "No, but that's my baby." There's something about it. You know your baby. But they had to go before the king, and it illustrates the justice, wisdom, and the judgment of King Solomon. There before the argument came, one woman said, "It's mine." And the other one said, "No, that's my baby." The appeal and the heartfelt, "Hey, that's mine," was before the court of the king. Solomon said, "Bring me a sword." And I still remember the picture as just a little boy in that Bible picture book of that baby there in the hands of a king. And he has a big sword. And he grabs that baby, and I know Solomon's mannerism. He was there to prove a point. And he grabbed that baby in that picture, and it's hanging. He's got that baby by the foot. And he's got that big sword. And he said, "I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to slice this baby right in half. And you're going to get one half, and you're going to get the other half." At that time, the real mother said, "No, give the baby to her. I would rather that baby live. And I'd rather see that happen." And Solomon said, "You're the real mother. You're the real mother." Isn't it amazing the nature of a mother? And I begin to think that these scriptures, even though the scripture in Matthew where Jesus begins to talk about Jerusalem, he said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you know, you stoned the prophets. You did all this to all the people of God, but how many times? I want to gather you like a hen under my wings and pull you together like a mother hen." Jesus used the natural instincts of a hen, how she would gather her little flock underneath the wings in the time of storm, in the time of danger. He said, I wanted to do that so much. He said, "But you didn't want to follow me. You didn't want to listen." But the scriptures show in a capture of the deep love and the compassion and the nurturing nature of mothers. And it illustrates the tenderness, the strength, and the wisdom of a true mother. Again, I must clarify, not everybody that has a baby and not everybody that has a family demonstrates the law of a true mother. There's people that's been raised without mothers. There's people that did not have the privilege of having a godly, virtuous mother or honorable mother in their life. But today, we're going to celebrate what a real honorable mother has given. I want to just talk to us today. You look at the tender care of even the animal kingdom. It shows you, on the majority side, the nurturing of mothers and the profound impact of that maternal ability that those animals have. And it's amazing to watch even the mother bear. The Bible says, you know what? A mother bear stripped of her cubs is dangerous. A bear that has little cubs becomes a bear. I mean, one moment she's loving her cubs. You let danger come, and she, with all her instincts, would kill and devour. I want to tell you, I thank God for times where in my life that there's been examples of that mother bear that's been in my life. Things that had happened that was supposed to come, and I didn't see the harm. It was innocent. My life, amen. But my mother, and I watched my wife before come as a mother bear to where, hey, there's danger, you're not getting this. You're not going to let it happen. I was just a teenager, and I can remember in Wharton, Texas, that there was a woman that came to the church that we went to, and unfortunately, I didn't know. My parents didn't talk to her about her to us. We didn't know. We didn't engage in conversations like that, but she came one day, and this woman's reputation, obviously, and the things that she was doing was not appropriate with young men, and I didn't realize that. As a young man, I was just trying to help. Well, she came to the house, and she asked, she said, she didn't ask my parents, she didn't ask my dad or my mom, she said, she called me by my first name, she said, I need you to come help me with some stuff. And she was just by herself in her pickup, and I was thinking, wow, I don't mind helping, because I've been trained to honor older people. And she was maybe about 15 years older than me. She had small children, and she had a husband. And I could remember my mom, out of nowhere, she says, oh, no, you're not. The mama bear came alive in that front yard that day. She looked at that lady, my son is not getting in that truck with you. And she said, no, 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 there's no way he's going. And I'm thinking, how embarrassing, Mama. You're embarrassed. You have taught me all my life to help and to assist and be that hand. But my mom seen something and knew something that I didn't know. Thank God for the times of that mother bear coming out. Amen. How many of you ever had a mother bear? Amen. Amen. Where there you had to do something. Amen. To stand in between the innocents. But I've also watched those mother bear cuddle and love on their little cubs. It's amazing. That tender affection that is there. I also, you know, I like to hunt. I like to deer hunt. And there's been several occasions I had the experience and the opportunity to watch does and, you know, female deer with their young. And you watch them, they have a pattern. You learn it. And when they first come out in the opening, they have a sense they will stand stone still. They utilize every sense they have, their ears, their nose, and their eyes, and the natural instinct that God gave them. They're surveying. They're using all the radar that God has given them to begin to see if there's danger in that opening or that field. And even though I seen the deer standing there, I knew that she was there, but she stood like a statue. To finally, she not seeing me, she eased out in the field. And after she got in the field, she kept her vigilant watch. And I watched her tail flick a certain way. And from the woods and from the coverage, out came two of her fawns or yearlings. They came out and they looked at that sign of that tail, and they knew that mama said come. And I watched that mother deer watch all over. And it was another occasion that I was hunting, and I watched a field full of deer, and I was observing that. And all of a sudden I seen them start going, something was wrong. Those deer, they started getting together, and those does, all of a sudden, they stood on their back, hind legs, and they flapped their front legs, and they started snorting and start coming against something. And I took my binoculars, and I opened up the binoculars as best I could, and I watched that field till finally I seen what they were after. Two coyotes were after their, just prowling in the high weeds. And these does begin to bind together and begin to come against those, standing on their hind legs and trying to hit those coyotes. Till finally, those coyotes got the message and left. I'm telling you, there's something about even that mother hen, the instinct, the natures of all those mother hens, how a certain clucking sound, a certain alarm system, those little biddies are given a God-given natural ability to respond, and that hen would protect them. Amen. The nurturing tenderness of even human mothers is amazing. There's a profound parallel between the instinct of nature of maternal instinct of animal kingdom and should be human kingdom. We turn our gaze to the human, and the human that were in the Word of God, there's several instances of the faith of a mother. One of them was a woman named Jochebed. Jochebed was a Levite woman, and she had a son. But the problem was, she was born, this child was born at a time in Egypt where the children of Israel were slaves. And Pharaoh noticed that the Hebrew people were having so many children and multiplying that there was a decree made that every male child, every child should be thrown into the Nile River. Every child. So the Bible says Jochebed, she saw that her child was a goodly child. She saw something in him. And the Bible says she hid him for 3 months. But she knew that that was going to happen very long, that things would transpire. So she defied the death order, but she knew that God had plans for her son. And what became too dangerous was that she was holding that child. And if they would find out about her, they would kill her and the child. But she had a plan. She remembered the story of Noah. She remembered how Noah built an ark. And the Bible says that Jochebed built a little basket ark. She pitched it just like Noah's ark with stuff on the inside to keep it afloat. And she obviously knew that if she put her baby in that little bitty ark and put it in the edge of the waters of the Nile River amongst the reeds, exactly the place where Pharaoh's daughter would come and bathe. She in hope and in knowledge and the wisdom that she had, and plus whatever God gave her, she placed that baby there, knowing that every young lady has a tendency to have compassion on young. And because of that day when Pharaoh's daughter, the princess, came to bathe in the Nile River, she heard the cry of a baby. And whenever she began to search, her heart was there. And she found something in the Nile River in that little basket, a little Hebrew baby. And friend, I want to tell you how God works. God put a natural instinct in that lady's heart, that girl's heart, to want to keep that baby. She looked at it as a treasure from the river, which was her God. Hey, she didn't realize what she is holding was a treasure from the God. Amen. Well, God has a plan, don't he? God has a way. Well, Moses' real mother, Jochebed, she was the one that had us all planned. She sent Moses' sister. And she told the Pharaoh's daughter, she said, that baby's going to need somebody to nurse it. And I know a good nursemaid. Of all the people, it was Jochebed that got to have her daughter, or her son, and raised for the daughter of Pharaoh. I want to tell somebody today, it meant God has a plan and God has a way. But it was a faith of a mother called Jochebed that God used that faith to raise up a Moses that would become the great deliverer and the great hero of the faith that would save the children of Israel. Amen. Also, there's other women in the Bible. Amen. There's Hannah. Consider the story of her. She did not have a child. She was barren, but deep inside she had a yearning. I want a child. And she made a deal with God. She said, God, if you would give me a child at his appropriate time, I would give him back to you all the days of his life. And the Bible says that Hannah had a child, and his name was Samuel, one of the greatest priests and prophets of the Old Testament. Because of her faith and her devotion, God began to use that. Another mother of faith, of all the different ones that was chosen in the New Testament, there was a young virgin. Her name was Mary. Here the Lord began to see Mary. And Mary was a spouse. She wasn't married yet. But you know how the Lord began to, he meant work in the scene, because he came to bring salvation to humanity. And he used the body of a woman to bring forth that Savior. I want to tell you that, amen, we find that the tender guidance and the nurturing of Mary, it had to be obvious and play a pivotal role in the shaping and the life of Jesus Christ, the man. You look at that. Many times the compassion that Mary had, many times the compassion Jesus had in making reference to his mother. I want to just talk to us just a little bit today from this topic. The hands, in the hands of a mother. You know, there's a sacrificial love that sometimes come. All through the book of Chronicles the other day while reading it, it amazed me that every one of the kings that are listed in the Old Testament, a lot of the good kings, it began to mention, and their mother was. I looked at David's mother. David's mother was Nitzvat Bat Adiel. Don't let me say it again. I'll say it differently. Amen. But she obviously had a place in his life as well. She's not mentioned very much, but we find that obviously in the heart and the life of David, that mother had to be there. Because David makes references all through the Psalms of a mother. And he talks about that. Then in the Old Testament, Josiah, who also was a king, it talks about his mother Jediah. Also, there was a man named Ahaz. Ahaz, his mother was Abi. It mentions all these kings and their mothers. How important it is for the opportunity and the grand privilege to have the opportunity or the privilege to raise and nourish a child in the right way. But the greater recipient of that is when God allows somebody in your life, such as a mother, to shape in you, to help you, and to bless you through their hands. Mary, the mother of Jesus, the guidance of this godly mother, this woman there that trained up that child, amen, to go forth knowing that one day that he, amen, would have to pay that price for the sin of humanity. Amen. She had the privilege of being there as the hands that held him and the hands that would guide him. Well, let's go a little further today. We're so thankful that there's another mother that we want to talk about today. You may not have a mother. You may not have that motherly hands on your life. You may not have that mother that guided you with wisdom. You may not have the opportunity that some of us had. But there's a mother whose hands is supposed to be here for you today. It's called the Church of the Living God. The mother of the church should be here as a mother that guides us, helps us. Thank God for the church at many times that would be there to help the people that's never had. People will walk in a door of a church, and a church is more than a building. A church is more than a group of people, but it should be an institution that represents the Almighty God, the love of a Savior that loves us with grace and mercy, a God that stands for us, a God that cares about our well-being, a God that hears our faintest cry, a God that responds to us. And the church ought to be the hands, like a mother, that is there to nurture and guide. I don't care if you're a senior citizen or not. You need the church. You need the house of God. We live in an hour where even there's a movement and a spirit today in our hour that says you don't need church, you don't need to go to the house of God. I want to tell you, why did the New Testament, from boom, the beginning to the end, God addressed specific assemblies called the church, Amen. Some assembled in houses, some assembled in different places. Amen. Oh, friend, and there was a church in Antioch. Antioch was a church that was magnificent. A church that the Bible says the believers were first called Christians at Antioch. That motherly effect. They're the ones that would give and respond to the needs of other congregations and other peoples around. It was a church made up of a mixture of people. There were not just Jewish people at Antioch. There were a mixture of different types and nationalities and cultures that blended together. Oh, friend, I want to tell you, oh, it's easy to say, well, we're going to start a cowboy church. Are we going to start a this type of church? No, no. I believe the church ought to be the church for whosoever. It ought to be a healing institution. It ought to be a safe place. It ought to be an intensive care unit for the hurting and the dying, regardless of your past. It should be a place for the unwanted. Oh, we don't want that type in our church. They would corrupt us. I don't want that here. You know, we would lose our little status of being dignified. Friend, I want you to realize, I don't care how dignified you may be in your life. Amen. It's by the grace of God that we're here anyway. Amen. Oh, and such were some of us, but we've been washed and we've been sanctified. Are you thankful that God's hand has led you to the hands of a church? Amen. That says, come on. Amen. Let me help you make it to the other side. One person told me just recently, I don't go to church because the church is full of hypocrites. Well, you know, that's funny, because the church should be a place for you to get sanctified, a place where you could work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's a place for the hypocrite to come and change your life. It's a place for people that don't hit on all cylinders to come and let the grace of God, the hands of mercy, mold and shape in you. It's more than come and say, "Ooh, I'm saved now. And I could place myself on a pew and I could be okay." No, the church is the system to help you to get to the other side. It's not a membership club. It's not a Sam's Club. But it's a place where you can meet the Almighty God and work on you. It's a place where you could... Oh, it's made of humans. Let me knock something in the eye today. It's full of humans. It's full of people that, I'm telling you, they have to blow their nose. It's full of people that sometimes we have bad days. The church is not made up of perfect people. The church is trying to build imperfect people on the perfect plan of God. By the perfect hand of the Almighty God. I'm telling somebody today, you're not going to find perfect people here. You're going to find forgiven people here that are trying to get to the other side, that are trying to work on their lives. You're going to find a day that even the pastor is going to be grumpy. There's going to be a day that the pastor's not going to shake your hand. There's going to be a time that the operation of the church is going to look a little bit imbalanced. But I want to tell you, the church of the living God, amen, it's not about the human anyway. It's about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's working on us. This is the potter's house. This is the wheel that God works on you and I. Amen. Oh, I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord should have thrown us away. God should have got rid of us like the bad clay. But the Bible says he made again a new vessel. And we come to the potter's house, the house of God. It is there we watch God work with his hands on the wheel. And I want to tell you, God does work on the wheel. We know a potter's wheel is W-H-E-E-L, but in an amazing, God works on the W-I-L-L. The wheel of man. And with his great will, God could take us and crush us. God could take and throw us. But he doesn't. So the hands, human hands of the church are people that know, you know, we're just privileged to be here. We come to the house of God, you know, We remember the times we weren't hitting on all cylinders. Remember the times that we had problems. Remember the times that we were in the pit of despair. Remember the times where we were bound by things that we couldn't quit. So we come to the house of the Lord and we find people that God has helped through that will have compassion on other people that need to get through. The hands of a mother called the church. Are you glad that your mother, when you were born, didn't look at you and say, "I'm sorry, Brian David"? She looked at you just as a baby, 6 weeks old, and said, "You know, I'm tired of changing these diapers. You stink." And she took and just said, "You're so imperfect. Look at your toes. You know, I don't think anybody has beautiful feet." She looked at his feet. She looked at his toes and said, "No way." And she just took him and threw him outside. No, she didn't. Isn't it amazing? And every mother's baby is beautiful. But you know better than that, every grandparent's baby is beautiful. Amen. But Sister Pearl didn't throw you away, bub. She graciously and lovingly worked on you. Thank God for the love of a mother's heart. Thank God for mama's wisdom through the years. It was more than no, 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 no. Many people think church is just a no-no place. You know, Katie has brought our grandbaby here, and he's at that age where you don't have to teach him no. They'll repeat no to you. And after a while, they'll tell you no. But in his life right now, everything is no, 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 no. And he's learning the no. I'm thankful that church is more than just a bunch of no, 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 you can't do this and can't do that. Church is not a tight rope that you can't do this, and if you do, you're going to fall. It's not a thin wire that you walk on. Church ought to be a highway, a straight way, but a highway for you to walk with God Almighty and with people just like you that need the love and the grace of each other and the Almighty God. We got to go to heaven now together. We got to make it together. We got to grow our faith together. Amen. We got to work on each other together. Amen. Oh, we got to have compassion on each other together. God's church and the motto of his church was a mother. Thank God for the mother. And there are sometimes the church has to be a mother bear. Sometimes the church has to make a stand against the elements and the evils of this hour. We don't close our eye to anything. When we see it's a devouring predator or something that comes, we're going to stand together and we fight the good fight of faith. We fight with an intense fight, a fierceness. We love the things of God and we will protect our babies. We will protect the innocent and we will protect the things that belongs to God. We will treasure the things even that God has put in our life. Not only that, isn't it amazing that that same mother bear, like we mentioned a while ago, she has a way of watching, but she has a way of loving. There's something about it when you find the love of the church in your life. Nothing will ever duplicate the love of people that has been born again of the water and the Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost, that God has chosen, plucked out of the pits of sin, and set you on a rock. And when you know what God has done for you, you don't mind sharing and helping somebody else. God didn't make the church to be a stingy church, a me-only church, a selfish church. And a mother, thank God for a true mother that's not selfish. A true mother, virtuous woman, it's not all about her. But in times of hunger, she would do it without that her babies could eat. I've seen mothers that sacrificed for their children, that did great things for the well-being of her children. And I want to tell you, even through the years, I watched the sacrifice of a church where we could have had things to all the different, we could put money in the bank, but we said no. I remember working the fair, and yesterday I was thinking about that. I remember that year we worked at the fair, and it was so hard. But I told the church, every penny we get is going to go to the missionary. That day, I'm telling you, Amen. We got done, we were flat worn out. And I can remember taking that money, and Sister Regina was our secretary at that time. And I looked at Sister Regina, I said, "How much?" After all the expenses she told me, and I said, "We'd write a check for that amount to the penny." And I thought at the same time, but God, you know, our air conditioning system's not working right. We have things that we need here at the church. There's some things I like to have. We could keep that money. But a mother feels it's more blessed to give than receive. Thank God for the times even the mother's been there. There's been times of our own people that and we have loved, and they had problems, and they needed something to lean on. Their family forsake them. People didn't really understand him. Thank God for God's mighty army being there for that weak moment of their lives, their frailness and their time of fragileness, that there was a shoulder, there was people for them to lean on and to understand. Amen. It's kind of like this when you go to the hospital. You ever been in the hospital and you can't help it? They give you one of these little gowns that don't have a back. And you're there in the hospital bed a few days, and I mean, they won't let you get up and do anything, and here you are just laid there. And all your friends come to see you at your worst. There's been times that the people of God has been there at the hospitals. We've been there at the grave sites. We've been there at different places, all because of love and the care, even of the soul. I had a man that made a bold statement one time. "I don't need God and I don't need his church." At the time that he was laid on his back, and all of a sudden, "Please get a hold of Brother Crossway. Please get a hold of the church. Please. I want to tell you, don't let it be a desperate time. I want the church every day of my life. I want to live around the things of God every day. I want that in my life. I want that mother to be there with me." Amen. "Oh, I want that mother, the church, to help me, to guide me. I want the people of God to be there for my soul." Amen. Hear me, in the hands of a mother, God has placed us. And friend, amen, once you realize that, you don't mind joining and saying, "Hey, amen, I want to be part of that mighty army. I want to be a part of that people that's not afraid to stand up. I want to be a part of that people that's not afraid to get up in the middle of the night and hit my knees in prayer and sacrifice my time." And as a kid, there was a lady that was a widow lady who lived down the road from us. Her name was Sister Gaines. "I'm looking for Mom." "There you are, Mama Crosswhite." She had a rough time, didn't she, Mama? And my mom and dad picked her up and her three kids and brought them to church. That time there was two or three of us and Mom and Dad. And that was before seatbelt time. But Mom and Dad would pick them up and bring them to the house of God. And Sister Lola Gaines was a hardworking mother. Those kids were always clean. Those kids were fed. Those kids were orderly. One of those kids became Stephen Gaines. Steve Gaines pastored in Indiana. Steve Gaines. His son Matt now pastors a church. But I look back. It was because of the faith and the care of a mother who could have said, "It's not worth it. I might as well just give up." She didn't have a way to get to church. She didn't have a way to get to town. But it was by the grace and the hands of not just my parents, but other people that were there for them. But I guarantee you, there came a day and an hour where Steve Gaines, whenever God began to use him as a pastor, that he felt the same way. You know, people were there for us. I'm going to be there for them. Isn't it amazing how God helps the church, helps people through the church, through the hands of different ones? Amen. Offering. You may think the church is just a place where we just come and just clap our hands and go through the little rituals every Sunday and every little midweek service. No, friend, I'm thankful for the lively mother, the church of the living God. Amen. And the church of the living God is not just here, but around the world. There are people the same way that make up what we call the church. The blood bought those that God has brought out of darkness into his light. Those that he has founded on the rock. The people of God from all the corners of the earth that knows how to pray, that knows how to walk with God. A people that knows how to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Sister Riley, I imagine you remember as a kid, I've heard you talk about riding on the back of an old truck and Doucette. Is that where the town y'all lived at? Chad, you know where that's at? It was just a dirt road, I think, 59 or 69 back in those days. Amen. Rough. Remember, she remember going to church as a kid. I've heard the stories. Heard my mama going to church as a kid. Amen. Hearing all these different things, how even going there and how the old services and having Sunday school underneath an old tree in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. How the Sunday school teacher was one of her aunts would sit those little kids down. In that group of kids, amen, I was just thinking about it the other day. In that little group of kids, I see different ones that are there. I see a Diana. Amen. Oh, and oh, look, look, there's a Patsy there. Look, look, a little bit more. Oh, there's an LMA there. Look, and there's different ones that are there. What are you saying these names for? Because of that little group in that Sunday school class. Amen. My mama was there. Amen. And here I am today as a pastor. Oh, Ella Mae, look, she's got two boys. Amen. One's named Kent and one was named Philip, and their last name is Philip Rhodes and Kent Rhodes. Amen. They're in the ministry, pastoring churches. Oh, what about Patsy? Well, you see the suit I got on? Her husband pastored in Elton, Louisiana, and he passed away just recently. I have a suit. But their son, Chauncey's the pastor there today. I don't know how many other more came from that little Sunday school class that was so simple. Amen. But the motherly figure of the church was there to guide and help. Amen. In this place today, I wonder who in this place that we're reaching, and which one of these kids that we pick up, which one of these kids in the Sunday school class God wants to use and bless and nurture. Which one of these kids that we're mothering and helping that God was sent as a missionary to a foreign field. I'm telling you, God's looking for, amen, the church to rise up and be the mother in this hour. Amen. You need to be part of the things of God. Amen. I'm telling you, if your heart is not completely sold out to the things of the church of the living God, you need to get aboard. Well, man, the church is just a money-making thing. You want to look at the books? You want to look at the books? We're not in the money business. Amen. We are in the faith business. Hallelujah. We're here to reach out. We're here to bless. Amen. We're here to try to make it, friend, and get other people in this boat. We're building an ark for the saving of our families, a place where people could come and know the grace and the power of their Savior and know that our God will be with us. Amen. There's some that don't understand. There's some we'll never see. For those of you that have tasted of the goodness of the Lord, you ought to be thankful for the church. Hallelujah. Amen. Katie and Joel are here. Amen. But from the very first, that's all they've known is the church. I can remember 22 years old, we had Katie in Snyder, Texas, as a little pastor, little church there. We couldn't get enough church, so on Tuesday and Thursday nights, we would drive to the next little town in Colorado City, Texas. Brother and Sister Sanders, we would go to church with them. And there's just something about it. We always wanted to be at church, want to go to church, want to go to church, want to go to church. Church has been our livelihood. Church has been our heart. Amen. And saint of God, don't ever get to the place that church is just a place you got to go. Let it be a place you get to go. Let it be a place that you want to be at. Amen. When you're weary, amen, run to the house of God. Amen. Oh, man, when you're dreary, let it be at the house of God. You're not going to find this at the couch of a psychologist. You're not going to get this in the hospital. You're not going to get this anywhere else. The church is the place for you to come and find a hope and healing. Sometimes you're going to feel lonely. Even in the church, you're going to feel like, I'm the only one. I'm the only one here. Nobody else seems to be praying. There's some times you think, I'm the only spiritual one here. Nope. I'm going to tell you, I thank God for His army, His people. I'm thankful for the faithfulness of people through the years, amen, that are there. Amen, the fight to keep the doors open. I can remember selling peanut butter. I can remember selling barbecue plates. I can remember doing all kinds of things to try. Amen, through the years, we tried different means. We've had auctions. We had truckload sales. We had everything possible just to think, well, maybe. God's never failed us. God's never forsaken us. Amen. And I'll never, ever forget that day. St. Louis, Missouri, walking out of a conference center, that little short preacher walks up to me. He says, Brent, have you built that church yet? I said, no, sir. He said, the Lord just spoke to me. You don't have to. God's supposed to give you a building. I looked at him. I shook my head. He grabs me by the tie, pulls me down. He said, I'm telling you, God's supposed to bless you with a building. And he leaves me there. He turns off, walks off, leaves me there. I go across the street to the hotel. I'm pulling my shoes off. 15 minutes later, as I'm pulling my shoes off, my cell phone rings. I reach and I get off my side. And it was Sister Crosswhite, my wife. And I answer the phone. She said, what are you doing? I said, I just come out of the service. And she said, hey, I got something to tell you. She said, have you ever seen the building on Durr Street? I'm not sure. She said, Brother Jerry Craig was just going by it. And they were putting a for sale sign. I put a for sale sign up there. And she said, it's that big church building on Durr Street. And any other time I would have said, no. But somebody just told me God's going to give us a church. And I took down the information, the realtor, this pool realtor. And the next morning at 8 o'clock, I called the realtor and I said, tell me about it. And the guy started telling me, 22 acres, there's a pond, there's, three metal buildings, everything there, sir. And as I began to talk to him, I said, how much? When he gave me the price, I said, there's no way. There's no way. We're in that little building in Central Heights. There's no way. I want to tell you, when God says there's a way, there's a way. When God said there's a way, He will make a way. I flew home. I made it possible for me to fly home that Friday. We came here. And as a result, this building and this property, $425,000 is what we pay for this place. I'm telling you, amen, I remember the time right before coming here. Amen, there was times that, amen, we could not pay the electric bill of Central Heights. And I couldn't even, I'd had to take it out of the tithes and pay it. Amen. Many times. Amen. I want to tell you, God's grace. God has blessed us through the years. Amen. We're supposed to pay that building, this building off. Amen. God's supposed to bless His church in more ways than what you think. Amen. God is already doing it. Thank God for the church. The hands of a mother. The hands of a mother. Hands of a mother. That a young man, July last year, on a Tuesday night, would walk in this place. And it's no secret, the first time I've ever seen Guillermo, who's in the jail. First time I ever seen him, he had a hairnet on. He worked in the kitchen. And I can remember seeing him at the end of that hall. And it always stuck out in my brain. And the next time I ever seen him, he come walking in on a Tuesday night. We baptized him. God's filled Guillermo with the Holy Ghost. And you're in lesson 46 now. Or whatever, 46, 47 in Bible study. Amen. God has filled this man with the Holy Ghost. Thursday night. Thursday at jail service. One of the inmates came in and sat down. And we looked at his brother. It's Eric. And in that service, Eric had his hands lifted, tears rolling down his face, saying, God, forgive me of my sins. And the Spirit of the Lord was all over his brother. I'm telling you, God, amen, has a mighty church. God has mighty hands that wants to gather his people together and make something out of their lives. Here, there's no place like the hands of a mother. There's no place like the hands of the church. Amen. In fact, Princess Di, Princess Diana, she made a quote. She said, a mother's arms are more comfortable than anyone else's arms. Another lady, Agatha Christie, said, a mother's love for a child is nothing, there's nothing like it in the world. It knows no law, no pity. It dares all things and crushes down remorsefully all the things that stand in the path between it. And there's the final quote I want to give you. Mothers hold their children's hands for a short while, but hold their hearts forever. And Church of the Living God, I mean, there's been people that's been part of it that has guided us and held our hands that are no longer with us, but they have our hearts today. I'm thankful for the Church of the Living God. Amen. Would you lift your hands to Jesus? And I want you to thank him today for the church. Amen. Would you thank the Lord with me? Lord, I thank you for the people that you put in my life through the years that have guided me and helped me, loved me, blessed me. Thank you, Lord, for your grace that I could be part of your bride, your army. God, I thank you for the many people, the many times that you've reached through different ones to bless and to help. Thank you, Lord Jesus, today for the privilege to come to your house with your people and to praise your name. Thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness. We love and we worship you today. Thank you for your goodness at work and in operation in our lives. We give you praise and we give you thanks today for Calvary, for the blood that you have shed. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you sing that song? Yes, to the highest mountain, and it flows to the low. This valley, the blood that gives from day to day, it will never lose its power. Sing it with me today. Oh, it reaches to the us today. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. It's the blood that gives me strength from day. Power.
God today and sing it with us.
In reaches,
thank you for your blood, Lord Jesus, your love and mercy.
Let's give Jesus a hand for the church. Amen. You may be seated. I want to ask my beautiful bride. Amen. Thank God for my wife. Amen. God bless you.